Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast, the Thursday, April 5th, 2018 edition. I'm not Mike McMahon or Andrew Socek, and this is not the post-impact edition of the show that normally runs on Thursday nights. Instead, this is Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter, and the original host of this PW Torch Livecast. I'm now hosting the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show and Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast 4 days a week. The podcast shows, Wade Keller's Pro Wrestling Podcast, are available at Podcast One. And the post shows following Raw and SmackDown are available at WadeKellerPostShow.com. However, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to tell you about a substitute show that's very timely with WrestleMania weekend coming up that we're presenting today. And that is Alan Counihan's Pro Wrest Paradise podcast from earlier this week. It was a VIP exclusive show earlier this week. It's a weekly show. Alan had spent years at the Observer, and just a couple months ago, he moved here to PW Torch, and his weekly VIP show drops every Monday, where he specializes in Japan, the European wrestling scene, and also the U.S. indie scene. And he is in New Orleans right now, and he'll be doing special shows with Sean Radican this weekend about his travels throughout New Orleans, covering a bunch of wrestling shows for PW Torch. But you get a preview of this weekend with Alan's show. But on this week's show, Alan previewed the WrestleMania weekend and everything he had planned, as only Alan can. And I think you'll really enjoy his energy and enthusiasm. So check it out. This is Alan Forel's Pro Wrest Paradise, a VIP exclusive earlier this week. Now a bonus edition of the PW Torch Livecast with a preview of everything going on WrestleMania weekend that is not WrestleMania 34. By the way, my Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast this week features two WrestleMania previews. The Thursday show from earlier today features Pro Wrestling Torch senior columnist Bruce Mitchell joining me for well over an hour previewing the entire WrestleMania 34 card start to finish. So if you haven't subscribed to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, you can do so right now. Just search Wade Keller in Stitcher and Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe to wrestling podcasts, including at Podcast One, and click on the blue logo that has my face and name on it. Now, the early week shows, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows, are available also when you search Wade Keller. That's the red logo. You can click on that and subscribe to that also. But you need to subscribe to both the red logo show to get the two early week shows and the blue logo to get the two shows that are later in the week. Tomorrow, I'm joined for another WrestleMania 34 preview with WWE ex-creative team member Matt McCarthy, who is in New Orleans. In fact, when I interviewed him earlier today, he was at LAX ready to fly to New Orleans. He was so excited. And we previewed the entire WrestleMania 34 card also. So a double dose of WrestleMania 34 previews on my Podcast One show, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. And then earlier this week on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show, the red logo, I had Matt Kuhn on with me for the post Raw show and Johnny Fairplay as my guest co-host on the post SmackDown show. And we reviewed all the hype that was on Raw and SmackDown this week leading into WrestleMania 34. We talked to on-site correspondents both nights. We had live callers and answered email questions. So check that out also. You can get all the shows simply by searching Wade Keller. Now, all those shows are ad-free for VIP members. The plugs and ads are edited out. Same thing for these live casts. VIP members don't hear the ads and plugs. Those get edited out. Plus, we have a ton of VIP exclusive content when you're a VIP member. And right now, we're offering a WrestleMania weekend special. If you go to pwtorch.com/govip, you can find out more about what comes with a VIP membership. Our 30 years of archives of the newsletter, our thousands upon thousands of hours of wrestling podcasts, including retro radio shows going back to the early 1990s, and new content every single day, including exclusive articles on our ad-free website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly, and new podcasts every single day, VIP exclusive, my Everyday Wade Keller Hotline, and this weekend, our post-WrestleMania Roundtable, and much more. So, to get the discount, which is $6.60 off our normal rate, go to pwtorch.com/govip and enter coupon code LIVECAST340. LIVECAST340. That's how much it costs to get 1 month of a VIP membership right now. If you have not used a coupon in the last 6 months, this offer is for you. If you have used a coupon in the last 6 months, please subscribe at the regular rate. We'd love to have you back, but the coupons are for use once every 6 months. So you can get a full month for $3.40, or you can apply that $6.60 discount to a 3 month or a 1 year subscription if you prefer. And the coupon code for that, again, is LIVECAST340. LIVECAST340. No space, Livecast 340 when you get to the sign-up form, and you'll get that instant discount of $6.60 off a subscription, which brings a one-month sub down to just $3.40. Go check it out. We'd love to have you as a member, and you get this show without the plugs and the ads, and all the Weight Killer podcasts without ads and plugs. That alone might be worth the price for many of you, but there's so much more. I invite you to check it out. Don't miss out on anything we've got going on this very busy weekend. We're very excited about what we've got planned, and you should be part of it. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Coupon code on the sign-up form, Livecast 340. Now I hand over the reins to Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L. This is this week's Progress Paradise. Go, go!
Everyone, back to the Pro Rest Paradise here at PW Torch VIP. I am, of course, as always, your host, Alan 4L. Still battling a little bit of a cough, a little bit of a sinus infection, I would say. So I may sound a little bit different than usual. So I can't remember if that was really bothering me on the last show. Actually, you know, it was. I remember specifically having to keep stopping the recording to cough my lungs out. So it seems to be something that's going around across the world. Several other podcasts I listen to have had hosts talking about this plague that has hit all those podcasters. But hopefully my guest here with me today is in tip-top form and picture-perfect health, because we've got a whole lot to talk about. I mentioned he'd be joining us last week when I closed out the show. That man is Travis McNeil. Travis, welcome to the Pro Rest Paradise. How are you feeling, sir?
I'm feeling good. You kind of lucked out, because a week ago I was battling strep throat, so I wouldn't have been a very good guest at that point, but no, I'm feeling good. Glad to be here. I kind of feel like this is the start of my road to WrestleMania each year, is getting a chance to talk with you about Mania weekend. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's always a fun time getting to talk to you, Travis. And there are few people in this world I know that know the world of independent wrestling through the years as well as you do, going back, I know, like to early mid-2000s, you would have been very much finger on the pulse, would you say?
Yeah, I would say so. Probably from like 2002 onward, I'd like to think I have a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah, for sure. So we have a whole heck of a lot to talk about, because there's a million shows happening in New Orleans, and there's no point wasting any time. Let's get right down to business. I laid out my path to greatness last week. The people know what I'm going to go to. We're going to throw some tough questions at Travis later to see what he'd choose between if he had to make the decisions that I had to make with some of my ticket purchasing. He'll be taking it in from a different perspective, watching at home on demand or on live by pay-per-view or whatever services these different promotions offer. So he'll have choices to make himself, and we'll see what he's feeling based on these cards. But I want to go kind of promotion by promotion, group by group, and just kind of look at what they have on offer over the course of the week, and how we feel they're doing buzz wise going into things, what we're excited about, what we're not excited about, etc., etc. I want to start with WWN Live, Evolve, WWN Super Show, all that kind of stuff. Reason I want to start there is because for me, going to WrestleMania and taking in non-WWE shows at WrestleMania week, the first thing that comes to mind, the pillar of that for me, is WWN Live. There hasn't been, this is like my sixth, I think, Mania I've gone to, and there hasn't been one yet where I haven't been at two shows produced by WWN. So they're always kind of like the pillar, the tentpole of my Mania week experience. And more often than not, they really deliver a cracking good time. So I think this year, I'm very bullish on what they have on offer. They're talking a big game in terms of saying that they're going to have a good production this year, a really good facility. They're going to really make it a destination spot. for fans and really give fans a good time in addition to the great wrestlers and great matches they have on show. And I think the big thing for me about the WN shows that sets them apart, Travis, is that versus so many of the other shows going on in New Orleans, the WN shows feel like they matter within the context of overarching stories of the promotion. They're in canon shows, they're building off feuds, they're building off rivalries, different people's paths to different titles are kind of coming to a head. You're seeing things that feel like they matter. It's not just a load of crazy dream matches. And we're going to get to a load of crazy dream matches when we discuss a bunch of shows. And that is an important part of New Orleans and an important part of Mania Week, having that. But when it comes down to it, when I'm faced with a decision, I feel like I'm more often than not going to choose the show that feels like it matters just that bit more. And for me, that is these Evolve shows. So that's my kind of overview as far as what WN have to offer right from the start.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. And I think that's kind of a good way to look at it, because when we look at WrestleMania in general, it's what WWE builds to over the course of a year, right? So I feel like with the WWN shows, it's very similar. You have these in-canon shows where these storylines kind of culminate with some big matches. You still get, you know, the imports and the dream matches in there too. But I think it's a good mix of both of them for sure.
Scrambling for my unmute button there. I had to mute myself for coughing, shockingly enough, and I'd scramble to find it again. But you mentioned imports, Travis, and it was funny because going in this year, I was like, I'm not just gonna buy all my tickets for WN. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to see what they have on offer. I'm going to see what the other promotions have on offer. They're in a little more inconvenient of a location for a tourist like me to get to. So I'm not just going to go all in on the WN live shows this year. Then they announced Daisuke Sekimoto. Then they announced Munenori Sawa. And at that point, and everyone else could book whatever else they wanted. I was going to every show in New Orleans that had those two men on them. Like, for me, in terms of import special attraction additions to a standard fare, well-built-up Evolve show, you could not ask for two guys I'd be more excited to be seeing. Daisuke Sekimoto, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. Like, he hasn't fallen out of my top three favorite wrestlers, I'd say, since 2008. And Munenori Sawa, a guy who I was like, in terms of like the Western online fan base, I would say I was like one of, if not the biggest Sawa fans during his kind of rise to prominence in the latter part of the last decade. And he retired early. He retired in 2011, and he's been missed from the wrestling world. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Sawa's making a comeback, and we're getting Munenori Sawa's return to wrestling on Evolve shows Mania weekend, with his tie into that promotion, obviously being that he was on Evolve 1 and Evolve 5, where he wrestled TJP and Bryan Danielson, believe it or not, in two cracking matches. So he has certainly some legacy with Evolve, and it's been cool seeing them push that. It's been cool seeing Timothy Thatcher talk about what that means to him as a guy who gets to wrestle Sawa, and Sawa being a pioneer of the battle arts style, and Thatcher, pretty much every time you see him wearing a battle arts hat, he loves battle arts. And we're getting the dream tag of all dream tags in terms of my dreams anyway, Ring Camp versus Sawa and Sekimoto. And I spoke with the Sawa battle arts Thatcher tie-in. Sekimoto and Walter, Travis, you know as well as I do, those men have some history, right?
They do, yeah. WXW for sure. So, and that's a match that on paper, I know when it was announced, you know, yourself and myself, it on paper, it really is a dream tag match. But I know some people kind of scoffed at the fact of, you know, bringing in Munenori Sawa and putting him in a tag team match, you know, as opposed to singles. But I love it. All of the tie-ins, all of the histories there. That's a banging tag match.
It's not like we're not going to get two singles matches with him the next day.
Well, that's exactly it as well. And I think it's actually really smart on Evolve's part, because you bring in an import you know, like Sawa or like Sakamoto. And naturally, fans start creating these laundry lists of guys that they want to see them fight. So I like the idea of a tag team match because, one, it gets a couple of more opponents in there than you would see with just, you know, three singles matches. But at the same time, it opens the door for maybe a little bit more of a unique singles match that they're doing with Sawa that we'll get to later on, I'm sure. But still kind of giving you, you know, Sawa versus Thatcher, with which everybody wants. You know, Sawa versus Walter, which, you know, is an incredible match on paper, too, with the big little dynamic. So I'm really into that tag match. And I really like it, too, because we mentioned the WWN shows being in canon. I love the idea of their imports also having a history there. They did it a couple years ago when they brought in Ibushi, and it, you know, Ibushi was a special attraction, but has that tie into Evolve. And it's the same thing with Sawa. So again, even though you're getting those dream matches, they still kind of make sense in the scope of the promotion too. And I give them a lot of kudos for that.
And Walter and Sakamoto, as good as these guys are as singles wrestlers, like two of the very best going, they are incredible tag team wrestlers. Like, Daisuke Sakamoto has been one of the best tag wrestlers of the past 10 years with his work with Yuji Okabayashi in particular as the Strong BJ tag team, but others as well. And Walter, be it with Timothy Thatcher, be it with Axel Dieter Jr., be it in the Outsiders with Avalanche, like, Walter has had some incredible tag team matches as well. And I think these two in a tag setting, we've seen what they can do against each other in singles multiple times. And it would have been cool to see them go lock horns one more time in singles. But I think I'm more excited to see them in a tag where you can kind of build up to them kind of having their big showdown in the middle of the match. And I think it'll be awesome. So that is, I would say, as far as my most anticipated match of the whole week in New Orleans, I think we started out talking about it. It's that one there.
Yeah, that's definitely top of the list for me too. Maybe not number one, but it's up there. And yeah, and you said it best. Like, I think they can build a really good dynamic with that. Walter and Sakamoto are both awesome bullies. Thatcher is an amazing, like, even though he's a bigger guy himself, is an amazing kind of like scrappy fighting from beneath type of guy. Sawa's the same. So I think that's a really special tag match.
Now, the big thing that Evolve are promoting as far as their sort of in-house stuff that weekend is on the first night, they're one-on-one, the biggest match they can book. Gabe Sapolsky's come in and said he decided a year ago he wanted it to be their big match in New Orleans this year. It's Matt Riddle challenging Zack Sabre Jr. for the Evolve title. I think that's going to be amazing. If you haven't watched the Kenny Johnson build-up video for this match, it's absolutely must see. It will get you so excited for it. It just makes it feel like a huge match with where both guys really want to come out of it with that title. They're 1-1 against each other in their Evolve careers. Riddle beating Zach 2 years ago at Mania Week in Dallas when Riddle was still a relative newcomer, and Zach beating Riddle in a champion versus champion match when Riddle was the WWN champion last year in, I believe it was Chicago. That was a great match. So these two have great chemistry with each other. They apparently tore the house down in PWG last weekend, but I'm so excited to kick off the week with what feels like a huge major title match between Zach and Riddle. And Riddle's guy who he feels massively rejuvenated this year, especially in the last month or so. It just feels like a more motivated Matt Riddle who is doing less kind of things that I wasn't really enjoying in his matches, like the Canadian Destroyers and stuff, which just didn't feel like they were him. And now he's just full on kicking guys' asses and going in there, intensity ramped up all the way. This is the Matt Riddle that I want going into this match. And Zach, I mean, oh, you want to talk about a guy just coming into a match of momentum after the New Japan Cup. Zach is, he's on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it might throw an interesting little wrinkle in there if Zach comes in as the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, but that's a different discussion for a different time. But I agree 100%. Even though we've seen it before, we've seen it a couple times in WWN and in other promotions as well. Sabre and Riddle is a match that delivers every single time. their match 2 years ago, Mania weekend. I think they went like 7 or 8 minutes, and it turned out to be one of my favorite matches that weekend. And that's when Riddle was still relatively inexperienced. So I think this is the biggest match WWN can book for sure. Both guys, like you mentioned, tons of momentum. The Kenny Johnson documentary is a great hype piece for it. Really establishes the need that both of them have to win that match. And I love that that's being put at the forefront for Mania weekend. And you mentioned kind of Riddle, you know, mid to late last year, not seeming himself. And I almost feel you can use that in the story of this match. Of here's this guy that kind of deviated a little bit from what brought him to prominence. And look where it led him. He lost his WWN title to Keith Lee. He fell down the card a little bit. And you're right, like this past couple of months, he's just been ass kicker supreme, especially if you look at the match with James Drake that he had. So really, you've got Riddle. He's got his head back on straight, and he's coming for Zach's belt. And it'll be really interesting to see if they change the title. That's kind of why I mentioned Zach's match with Okada, because if he comes out of that as champion, I don't know if that's going to cause any issues there or make it more or less for him to possibly drop that title. But I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Riddle leaves that event as the new Evolve champion.
Now, another reason, Travis, that I'm just super excited about the WN shows is that they feel like they have a bunch of young guys who are on the cusp of really breaking through, and there's no better weekend to break through than WrestleMania weekend. We saw that with Keith Lee last year. The guys in particular that have been built up to being at this tipping point for me are Darby Allin, Austin Theory, James Drake, who you just mentioned, and Anthony Henry. I think any of those four guys could come out of New Orleans as a real stock-up major player like Keith Lee did last year. Is there anyone else I didn't mention that you're super excited about, or if it's just those guys, what are you excited about in terms of what they're doing this week?
I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head with those guys. Darby Allin especially. There was a very large part of me that was hoping we would see Darby Allin win the Evolve title Mania weekend. Given that he debuted Mania weekend 2 years ago, getting squashed by Ethan Page, I think that would have been a really kind of nice, you know, payoff to that.
I think Darby's such an interesting character. You could go another year building for that.
Yeah, and that's exactly it too. I mean, they just did the Sabre match back in January that I absolutely raved about.
Most underrated match of 2018. It's the match of the year candidate that nobody talks about.
100%. It literally, to me, if you take those two wrestlers, I think it was the perfect match that they could have. And, you know, you want to throw around star ratings or whatnot and what they mean to different people. But for me, if you take two guys and you put them in a situation and I could not think of something that would improve on that match at all. That's kind of what makes a five-star match to me. And that's what I'd go with that. So very high praise on my end. But you're absolutely right. That match just happened, so they could still slow burn it out a little bit. And Darby has two really big matches this weekend anyways, in that he has to slay Giants and Keith Lee and Walter, the Walter match especially, which we could maybe get into a little bit as well. I'm really looking forward to. But yeah, Darby, I think, is going to be a star this weekend for sure. Austin Theory and him kind of seem like they're on similar paths, and those are the guys that Gabe's really starting to bring to the forefront. And he's got a big weekend as well. Another guy you didn't mention, because he's not really one of those rookie kind of younger up and coming guys, is DJZ, who I think has been
absolutely. DJZ. I forgot, and I hate myself for forgetting, because DJZ is one of the guys I'm most excited about seeing in New Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a guy that has been so good for so long. And I legitimately remember like watching him in IWC Pittsburgh in 2004, 2005. And it's amazing to see his progress to where he is now. And, you know, he was in TNA for a bit and he was hurt for a little bit. And he just really didn't get the spotlight on him that I feel like he deserved. And now he is. Mania weekend's going to be huge for him. And I think they've done a really good job in putting him in situations where he can succeed. He's fighting Austin Theory on the first Evolve show. And DJZ is really good at, you know, getting the most out of his opponents and making them look really good. And that's important for Theory at this point as well, because they definitely want to start putting him on a little bit of a pedestal. So I think that's an excellent match for him. I think he's in a four-way on the second Evolve show, which, again, if you've seen like any of his kind of lucha matches in AIW, you know he really excels in multi-man settings, and he's almost kind of like the mastermind at putting together some really innovative, really unique spots that you're not going to see anywhere else. So I think this is a good weekend for him to be spotlighted as well. And I really hope that it leads to bigger things for him, especially in Evolve, where I feel like they can make him a major player. And Henry and Drake, same thing. They're guys that Evolve took a little bit of a gamble on that I feel maybe at first people didn't realize how good they were. If you followed Style Battle, you could see Anthony Henry's storyline that he had there and really put in a good showing. But I know when Drake and Henry won the tag belts in Evolve, although it was a really big moment because they won it in their home area, I don't know if it really translated much to the other other cities that Evolve runs. But I think now, especially after that James Drake Riddle match that I mentioned, people are starting to take notice. And I think this is a good platform for them as well. On the second Evolve show, they're currently it's either the second or the third one. They're currently without a scheduled match. And I know you mentioned on Twitter, Alan, that you were really hoping that they would end up against each other. And I'm all in for that as well. I kind of feel like they're maybe planting the seeds that those two guys could end up in Catchpoint, which I wouldn't be too upset with either. And if you think back 2 years ago, Mania Weekend, they did a very similar situation with Matt Riddle and Tracy Williams, where despite being in the same stable, they fought each other because Catchpoint's all about competition. And that turned out to be a hell of a match. And I'd like to see them go the same route with Henry and Drake, two guys that know each other really well, aren't afraid to hit each other really hard. And I think that would be the best use to get their stock to rise a little bit and evolve.
Last thing I want to mention for WWN before we move on, because it's tradition, the WrestleMania weekend trios match, the six-man tag, which goes all the way back to the 2006 ROH WrestleMania weekend shows when the Dragon Gate guys came over for the first time. It's a tradition that Gabe has carried through his DGUSA shows into Evolve shows, and now it's always on the WWN Mercury Rising Super Show now, I think, every year. And this year, what do you make of this lineup? I think it's a pretty sick match. We got Darby Allin, DJZ, and Trey Miguel, Trigger Trey Miguel, versus Austin Theory, Travis Banks, and Zachary Wentz.
I think that match really just embodies what we were just talking about these younger kind of breakout guys that are having a platform this weekend. And I think that match is a great example of it. I almost wish they would sort of do away with the traditional six-man tag. Because I always equate that to the Dragon Gate ones, and obviously that's not possible now. So each year it's kind of been a little different. I think we got like a Shine six woman tag the 1 year, and now this. So I'm fine with them kind of doing away with the traditional aspect of it, because I feel like that's a little bit lost. But I think this is a crazy match. You know, you have a lot of the guys we mentioned, Theory, DJZ, Allen, Miguel and Wentz are both phenomenal, and they're two guys that I feel get a little bit overshadowed too by Desmond Xavier, because he's got the TNA gig, and you know he kind of rides with those guys, and they're often, you know, tag or trios. So I think it's good that they're going to get their own spotlight, and the Evolve tag division can really use a shot in the arm. So I don't know if they're planning on bringing them in as a team or not, but I think that would be a good idea. And what a platform for them, making their debuts in the company in a big match like that on a big show. Travis Banks is the one in this match that sticks out a little bit for me, in that he's not a crazy high flyer like the other guys, but he works really, really well with high flyers and guys he can kick around. The Will Ospreay progress match from back in December is a good example of that. So I think he's almost kind of like the glue that's going to hold this match together as well. You've got DJZ that, like I said, you know, can kind of lay it out. And you got Travis Banks that can be that little bit of a shit kicker in there that, you know, provides a good contrast to the high flying. So I think that's a really awesome match that we all have to look forward to on the Mercury Rising show for sure.
I think those guys are going to have the best time putting that match together. I think they're going to be there's going to be so many ideas, and I hope it's I hope it all comes together well. The crowd give it a great reaction, but yeah, let's leave WWN there. We might come back touching on a few things later when we put some tough questions to you, Travis. But I want to move on to something else which will be happening in that venue, and that is the Game Changer Wrestling Shows, i.e. Matt Riddle's Bloodsport and Joey Janela's Spring Break. So for anyone who doesn't understand the involvement of Game Changer Wrestling, who they are, how this all kind of comes together, you'd be a great person to explain that. So for any of the Torch listeners that maybe have just heard the idea of Joey Janela's Spring Break and know it's a thing with loads of crazy matches, but don't really know the infrastructure behind this whole concept, and now Riddle's Bloodsport in there as well this year, maybe explain it to the Torch listeners.
Yeah, so I think, you know, to take away the obvious pun of Game Changer Wrestling trying to change the game, I really do think that is their mentality. It's run by Brett Lauderdale, who was a referee in CZW and a longtime fan of Combat Zone Wrestling. And I think that is something that really shines through. If you look at CZW, you know, I've been a fan of the company really for as long as I've been following independent wrestling, and it's not the same as it used to be. You know, 2003, 2002, 2004, you know, you had these crazy death matches, but you also had these insane high flying matches, and you would have guys coming in from different areas and getting really their first shot at prominence in the company. And I feel like that's what Brett is trying to do with GCW, and that he's having these amazing, like, differentiated kind of shock and awe cards where you're going to get bloodshed, but you're going to get high flying and moves you've never seen. And you're going to get an opportunity to see wrestlers from different areas, you know, that kind of converge together, almost like PWG used to be, in a little bit of a melting pot for different areas. And really what they're doing with these two shows, with Joey Janela's Spring Break and Matt Riddle's Bloodsport, it's, I think, brilliant. They're taking two wrestlers that have a very strong following on the internet. They're inserting their names in the show and kind of giving them some free rein on what they're allowed to do as far as setting up matches and stuff like that. So you kind of take these two buzzworthy guys, you give them your own shows. They have a fellow named Giancarlo that does the video production for them, who is the absolute best at what he does. If you've had a chance to see some of the video packages that they've done, you know, for Janela versus Great Sasuke, as well as the low-key versus Matt Riddle one, which I feel is probably one of the best hype pieces I've ever seen for a pro wrestling match in my entire life. It's just really good. And these shows are very different as well. And Mania Weekend's great for that because, you know, as you go from show to show, you see a lot of the same wrestlers, you know, sometimes wrestling some of the same guys, and everything can kind of get overwhelming and feel the same. And these shows are the break from that. So Matt Riddle's Bloodsport, for example, all matches have to be won by knockout or submission, no ring ropes. So you literally just, you're going to walk into that venue if you're attending live or if you're watching it on iPay-per-view, and you're going to get this just amazing scene, like right out of the movie Bloodsport. And that show to me almost feels kind of like a UFC 1 type of thing, because you have, you know, legitimate mixed martial arts fighters. You have a mix of tough guys like Eddie Kingston and Chris Dickinson and Low-Ki, who for years, you know, have been beating guys up on the independents. You have these deathmatch wrestlers like Masada and Nick Gage. You have a guy whose name, Kyle the Beast, literally has beast in it. So he's this wild man. And you just, you know, converge all of these crazy fighters together. And, you know, you put them under one roof in a ring with no ropes, where they basically have to pummel each other into knockout submission to win. And I feel like it's kind of intriguing, and it almost sells itself. And then with, you know, Joey Janela's Spring Break, you know, you don't have that crazy fighting aspect, but you have this wild New Orleans party atmosphere of who's going to show up, anything can happen. And, you know, his show last year that he did, Mania Weekend, it was met with mostly favorable responses. You have kind of some wrestling purists that maybe didn't love it. But it's just this wild show that happened.
It's
really
the show that's still talked about the most a year later from Orlando. Like, it is the show, for better or worse, it is the show that had the most impact. People remember it super fondly, those that love it. It was, for what they were looking to do, it was a runaway success. And I think building on it this year, by adding Riddle's Bloodsport. I think they couldn't have come up with a more ingenious, perfect complement to expand their brand coming into New Orleans this year. I'm so impressed with their ideas behind this. And yeah, like you said, Janela Spring Break, it's craziness, super fun time, and they have put together a card befitting of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we were talking about the Sakamoto tag match, we talked about that being one of the matches we were most excited for. For me, number one with a bullet match that I'm looking forward to most Mania Weekend is Matt Riddle versus Loki. I mentioned the video package having a lot to do with that. But basically, you have Loki, who, you know, a very polarizing figure in the independent wrestling scene, but he's someone that, you know, for the better part of a decade and a half has, you know, knocked out many opponents. And then you have legitimate MMA fighter Matt Riddle that is basically calling him out and saying, you know, for years now, you've been taking liberties with your opponents and knocking guys out. Well, you're not going to knock me out. I'm going to knock you out. And it's just, it's captivating, brutal stuff. And I can't wait for it.
And like, as well, it's captivating because you just can't see Loki, no matter how much money they threw at him. I can't see Loki agreeing to be like cleanly beaten in this kind of a setting by another wrestler. It's just, it would be the most un-Loki thing ever. And I can't wait to see what they're going to do. I wonder if they've even broached the subject or if it's just all going to be figured out on the day. God, my word.
I have no idea. Yeah. And just like,
sorry, Travis, go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, and, like, even some of the other matches on that card, too, are just such styles clashes that, you know what, they could turn out to be terrible, but just if you look at them on paper, it's so intriguing, and I feel like that Bloodsport is the show to watch Mania Weekend for that reason. Like, Timothy Thatcher versus Nick Gage, how is that going to go? Like, you know, is Nick Gage going to wrestle on the mat? Are they just going to brawl, which I think Timothy Thatcher is actually very underrated at? I have no idea, but it's just, it's such a, like, an awesome train wreck show that I feel like it's going to be one of those things you just, you can't look away from.
Got Dan Severn on there versus Chris Dickinson.
That match legitimately scares me. And I'll tell you why, because Dan Severn versus Matt Riddle was one of those matches where Matt Riddle obviously has a lot of respect for Dan Severn. And, you know, while it was, you know, a hard hitting match, I feel like, you know, Dan Severn is a badass, you know, no questions there, but he is a little bit older, you know, and I feel like Matt Riddle kind of respected that and took that into account. I don't think Chris Dickinson has that same mentality on his match with Dan Severn.
Well, Chris Dickinson ain't no Matt Riddle, and if Chris Dickinson wants to get froggy, I think he's going to end up just with Dan Severn's old man body on top of him for about half an hour until he agrees to just give up and just walk to the back with his head down.
For sure. And it's just, that's another one of it. Just those crazy matches that I just need to see what happens.
Okay. So speaking of which, on Joey Janela's spring break, there's two matches in particular, which, my word, these just pop off the page. I don't think there could be a more appropriate main event, a more appropriate opponent for Joey Janela on Spring Break 2 than the man they have found, the man they have coerced into flying over from Japan to wrestle on a show that is more fitting to what he does in wrestling right now than any other show could possibly be. That is the one, the only, the great Sasuke. The great Sasuke, for anyone, if you only remember him from maybe his Monday Night Raw days, Canadian Stampede against Taka Michinoku, ECW, you remember him from back then, the Michinoku Pro main event guy, kind of the face of the promotion. It's his promotion. He's still the face of that promotion. He's a very different great Sasuke now. He is every bit as insane, but insane in very different ways. And great Sasuke is a guy who, by all rights, shouldn't be able to move. Sometimes it looks like he can't move, yet he still does the most insane, crazy things in his matches. I kind of don't want to spoil some of the spots that he's done in recent years in Japan, because I know Janela and the people running that show want to make some of those happen in New Orleans. So I don't want to spoil them. But if Sasuke is feeling it on this night, and I think he will be, I think we're going to see one of the most breathtaking things we've ever seen. And there's not a commission in the world. And I did not want to talk about this commission stuff today, but I'll just say there's not a commission in the world that will be able to rein in the great Sasuke and Joey Janela if they're feeling it at 3 a.m. on the Friday night in New Orleans.
It's literally the two most psychopathic minds in wrestling from complete opposite ends of the world coming together to fight. And it's going to be the most lunatic thing you've ever seen. And you've got that right. I wasn't going to talk much about the commission stuff either, but there's absolutely no way that that match can be regulated. Those two guys are nuts, and I know Joey is really, really excited to do this. And great Sasuke, I'm pretty sure they've set the expectation for him that they don't want 1994 Super J Cup great Sasuke. They want 2018 lunatic, you know, Star Wars fighting, whatever they label their matches in Michinoku Pro now, great Sasuke, and it's going to be crazy. And you mentioned some of the other matches on that card, Alan. I know there's one in particular that I'm sure you're going to get to.
Let's
you start with that one, and then I'll add my two cents on it.
It's my man, Walter, the face of WXW, the daddy of WXW. Walter taking on someone who was actually in WXW 16 carat 2008, former WWF Tag Team Champion. The great, incredible, he stole Bret Hart's jacket because he's a badass and he can do that. PCO, Pierre-Carl Ouellette, Quebecer Pierre, whatever you want to call him. One of my favorite wrestlers as a child. I've always been enamored by this guy. Well after he kind of got out of the mainstream spotlight, I've always kind of been curious about what he's doing, and whenever I kind of see him pop up anywhere, I'm always interested in it. And he has been rejuvenated. He's in his 50s and he's been on this run in the indies in the last year that those who've been paying attention know it is something to behold. He is jacked out of his mind. He still wears the Quebecers gear, but he also wears kick pads, and he does like a shoot fighter style almost with the Quebecers gear. Yet he's also doing like cannonball sentons from the top rope, toe pace the outside. He's just murdering people. And he is, the best quote I saw was, nobody has ever taken a booking as seriously as PCO is taking Joey Janela's spring break. Because if you follow Ouellette on Twitter, he is the most excited man in the world heading into WrestleMania. There's nobody, not a fan, not a wrestler, nobody is more excited for this week in New Orleans than Pierre-Carl Ouellette. And Walter, I can tell you personally, is just in amazement and just does not know what to make of all this and is ready to just get in there and scrap it out with PCO. And PCO, he cut a promo the other day when he was bending a freaking barbell. He cuts his promo and he's talking about Walter beating up on all these kids. And I guess by kids, he means like other wrestlers Walter's age. I don't know. But beating up on all these kids, now you got to fight a real man. I'm going to murder you and there's going to be no hostages left. Ah, PCO, stay, he's just amazing with his French-Canadian accent, with his gruff French-Canadian accent. I just love this man so much. I love that this is a match. Travis, you can attest to the fact that when I saw this match announced, I went crazy. And what are your two cents on this ultimate dream match?
I'm pretty sure PCO thinks this is a shoot fight. That's my first thought on it. I don't know what goes on in that man's head. But he's absolutely wonderful for it. Alan mentioned the video package of him like bending a steel bar over his neck. There's another one of him ripping an entire deck of cards with his hands just while shouting that he's going to pummel Big Van Walter. And I don't know if PCO thinks Walter is of a similar age, like Alan said, and that he's like taking liberties with the young boys in the ring, or what's happening here.
Which may be possible, because PCO actually wrestled in a like four-way tag match with Walter in 2008. And while Walter in 2008 was probably 22, 23, he looked pretty much the same as he does now. So PCO could have easily thought that was like a 34-year-old guy who's now 44 and is just, yeah, just beating up kids.
It's like somebody showed him like a video of Walter versus Ilya Dragunov, and PCO saw his chest and was like, I'm not going to stand for this. But yeah, I don't know. That's, I, like you said, I know you went absolutely berserk when you found out this match was happening. As did I. It's just, it's so crazy. It's just going to be two very big, very strong men throwing each other around. PCO, somebody that, again, if you just kind of know him, from his WWF run, or, you know, is one of the Quebecers, he's a very, very different man than that. He's somebody that in the early 2000s was a really big part of the Montreal independent scene. Somebody that worked a lot with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and really helped them along. And I think both of them would give a lot of credit. Kevin Owens using the pop-up powerbomb is actually a direct tribute to PCO.
And the package pile driver before that when he was on the indies.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I can tell you personally, Kevin thinks the world of PCO and credits him for a lot.
Yeah, he's somebody that I feel for a very long time, it doesn't get, you know, what he deserves as far as recognition and how much he's helped the wrestling scene today. And this run he's been having for the past, you know, 6 months to a year is awesome. He's willing to work everywhere, and he's just being a workhorse and doing every crazy stunt and move that he can. And like Alan said, he's just so passionate about it all. He had a match with Ethan Page for Black Label Pro, and just afterwards, like, we're now like 2.5 months removed from that match, and he's still like tweeting out like at Ethan Page, like, thank you so much, brother, for that match, like, you're going places, you know, yada yada. And it's just, it's really cool, because he's this guy that's, you know, been around the block and, you know, was helping these guys, you know, 15 years ago kind of break in on the Montreal Independence. And now he's found himself again in a similar role. And like Alan said, he's just so excited about Joey Janela's spring break, and his passion is really coming through. And it's awesome. I'm really looking forward to that match. And even the rest of the card, if we just kind of run through it really quick, because, you know, those are the two matches that certainly appeal to the most of us. But like, there are some other gigantic matches on that card, Alan. Nick Gage versus, you know, Pentagon Jr. Like, that to me is a match where you take, again, these two, like, you know, legendary figures of the current independent scene that have never touched. And you have these two guys that literally, like, strike fear into those that wrestle them. And they're fighting each other, and they're cutting promos on each other saying they're going to murder each other. And it's just, it's, you know, I won't use the comparison to, like, Necro versus Joe, but I feel in a way it almost has like that aura and mystique around it, that you have these two, you know, very big personalities that, you know, have never touched, and that's about to happen on Joey Janela's spring break, no less. You have David Starr versus Mike Quackenbush too, you know, Quack, somebody that really doesn't wrestle a lot anymore. And David Starr, for a very long time now, when asked what his dream match is, has said Mike Quackenbush. So that's just a really awesome story in and of itself. You have this spring break, you know, clusterfuck match, which last year, you know, was maybe a highlight to some, maybe a low, you know, light to others. But it's, again, just one of those crazy matches where anything can happen, which is really befitting of the show itself. And then one match I wanted to draw a little bit attention to, I'm not sure your opinions on it, Alan, but one of the more unique matches of Mania Weekend, I think, is Matthew Riddle versus James Ellsworth. What are your feelings on that one?
It's one that I was I was not like, when I saw it was going to be happening, I was like, oh, okay. And then as the video actually played out, I was like, that was actually kind of a cool video. And then I saw the reaction, I was like, wow, it really worked. People are really into this. And yeah, they did a really good job promoting it.
And that's exactly it. It was a match that when I heard about it, I thought, that is one of the worst on-paper matches I've ever heard of. And, you know, God bless Matt Riddle. I think he's amazing. But, like, what is he going to do to make that match worthwhile? And then they released that video package, and I did a complete 180 on it. And it too, is one of the matches I'm almost looking forward to the most come Mania weekend, because basically it's James Ellsworth, any two, you know, man with two hands can fight, or whatever his catchphrase is, you know, and Matt Riddle just being completely dismissive of this guy, almost annoyed that he has to wrestle him, and basically saying he's just going to destroy him. And I really hope that that's kind of the story they go with, and it's not like cool bro Matt Riddle. It's Matt Riddle wants to get in, knock this guy out, and get out because he's annoyed. And I really hope the crowd kind of responds in fashion, and James Ellsworth is the ultimate babyface in that match. And I think if that's the way they go, it can be a really fun story. So it's, and again, on any other show, if that was on WrestleCon or you know, any other show, I don't think it would work. But for Joey Janela's Spring Break, I think it does.
Now, WrestleMania week is truly an international affair now, Travis. And it's even more so than ever this year, because we have promotions from the UK and Mexico getting involved in things. We've got two Progress shows. We've got a Revolution Pro show. And we've got The Crash taking their spot representing the world of Lucha Libre for the first time. Well, I shouldn't say that. The first time on a big scale at WrestleMania weekend, because there have been smaller Lucha shows around Mania week before, particularly in Dallas, I believe. Let's start with the UK guys. Progress, a lot of their stuff has just been announced this week. They've had the names announced for quite a while, but they only started announcing matches this week. We have most of the card now for their first show on Friday, and we have just one match for their show on Saturday. Rev Pro UK, we've got a bunch of matches announced for, but let's start with Progress. The big thing for me with Progress was just seeing the insane talent lineup they had, particularly for the Friday show, because they had Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Mark Andrews, and Pete Dunne available for that show. They just had so many guys to pick from that it was like, oh God, the amount of dream matches they could put together here. So far, we have four matches announced. I'm not like bowled over by anything so far, but I think it's pretty darn solid. And I think if we could just get maybe, I think we're like one good Tyler Bate match away from me being super stoked for this card. So I'm hoping he's not just thrown into Thunder Bastard, but I think the Thunder Bastard is being announced in like a couple of hours. So by the time you listen to this, you will probably know. But I am excited for the Progress shows. They're hot ticket sellers. They're going to be packed. And I think the standard of wrestling is going to be really good on them. And they're kind of somewhere in the middle between like, say, a WrestleCon or a Joey Janela Spring Break and the WN shows, in that they're kind of in canon and they're important, but also they're not like their run-of-the-mill Electric Ballroom Manchester show where it's purely their storylines, their matches on show. This is, there's going to be more kind of I would say guest flavor to the shows than there typically would be on a show in the UK. So any overarching thoughts on the two Progress shows so far?
Yeah, no, I pretty much agree with you. And they've kind of stated that these are the first like official chapter shows they're doing in the US. So they do are kind of fitting that canon. But I agree, a lot of the matches that are on there are maybe not something you would see on a normal, you know, Progress show. And definitely some more imports. You know, it's hard for me to judge these shows right now because a lot of the matches aren't announced, and they've straight up said that their Saturday show, a lot of the matches aren't going to be announced until the events of the Friday show, because they are, you know, falling in line with each other and the storylines that they're crafting. The talent lineups for them, unbelievable, like you said, especially the Friday. The matches announced so far, I'm truthfully a little bit lukewarm on. Not in that I think they'll be bad. In fact, I think a lot of the matches will be really good, what they've announced so far, but just they haven't wowed me yet, and I agree.
It's like there's probably like six or seven guys who on the show you're like, you just love, and you've all these different interesting things you want to see them do. Mm-hmm. And any of them who've been booked so far, they're not really like Pete Dunne. Like, there's so many guys in that lineup I'd like to see Pete Dunne in the singles match with. But he's in a three-way against Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster, which should be awesome because they're the three attack boys. They're gonna want to go ahead and represent their promotion and the wrestling they came up in. And that's a cool story. But I'm not, you know me in three ways. I'd rather a singles match generally, and I would just rather see Pete against. There's just so many other sort of tantalizing options for him with that lineup, but it should be good at the same time.
And then, I think, like, I feel like that's that card in a nutshell, right? You look at it and you're like, that'll be a good match, but it's just maybe not what we want out of it. And that three way is a perfect example. And so same with the
Ring Camp versus Sexy Star, and Sexy Star not being the Luchadora, but being David Starr and Jack Sexsmith. Like, it should be fun, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of other things I'd rather see the Ring Camp guys do. I'm not the biggest Sexsmith fan in the world. Shane Strickland versus Travis Banks, I'm not huge. I really wanted to see Strickland in something really cool on this show. And it's cool that he's getting a title match, make no mistake, but I'm just not massively into Travis Banks' title reign. So it's like, oh, he's being used for the Travis Banks title spot. Okay, fair enough. Okay, that should be fun, but I'm not... It's not what I kind of wanted. And they're not going to book the card for what I want, but at the same time, I'm allowed to be disappointed when it kind of folds out. But that said, there's still, we're going to have the Thunder Bastard match announced, and that will be, based on who's left, it's going to be a crazy match regardless. But I'm just hoping they keep one or two of the real good guys out of that to do something with, be it Zach Gibson, Tyler Bate, Matt Riddle, Jeff Cobb, Austin Theory, Darby Allin. Although I do think Darby would be perfect for a Thunder Bastard. Get in, do a bunch of crazy stuff, get eliminated, whatever way you want to do it. But I'd love like Tyler versus Theory or Tyler versus Gibson. Like, one of those would be just awesome.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyler versus Austin Theory on Twitter, and I thought that was a great idea because they're both kind of those young prodigies, right? And I think that would be a really good match for Theory. And Tyler Bate is so good right now. And I think he's somebody that, Austin Theory getting a chance to work with is really going to, you know, help him ply his craft even better. I just want to touch on it really quickly, too, because you mentioned the Ring Camp versus Sexy Star match. That, to me, is a match that I think would work much better in the actual Progress environment than it will translating to New Orleans. Jack Sexsmith is super over. I'm actually a really big fan of him. I think he's a really good underdog babyface, and I really like his deal and kind of what he represents. But I don't know how that's going to translate to a crowd that, you know, has never really gotten much of a chance to see him, especially live before. I kind of like that they're bringing the Walter Starr, you know, kind of rivalry over. But at the same time, like, that's something that I'm really, really into. But They have this feud that's been built through WXW primarily, and yes, it's kind of spilled over in other promotions, but the day that David Starr beats Walter, it has to happen in a WXW ring. And I feel like that by these other promotions starting to do that match, it almost kind of gives away that outcome, I feel. That, like, oh, well, you know, David Starr, he's not going to beat Walter, so his team's going to lose. And maybe I'm wrong with that. Maybe he pins Thatcher or something. I don't know. I think, like, their interaction would be good. Ring Camp beating up on, you know, Jack Sexsmith could be cool. But it's just a match that if it was booked for a normal chapter show in the UK, I'd be all into it. On NOLA, it just seems out of place. Same thing with the Strickland and Banks match. Like, I'm sure it'll be good. I think Shane Strickland's phenomenal. Unlike you, I'm actually really into the Travis Banks title reign. I think most of his matches have been really, really, really good. And I kind of like the almost like Davey Richards mid ROH title reign, where it's like the crowd was really into him winning the title. And then as soon as he did, they're kind of not into it anymore. And he's kind of going down the heel path. And that's a match that I just think is good. But again, like, for the Progress World title match on like a big Progress show, I don't know. It doesn't work for me.
Rev Pro, on the other hand, are going a very different direction with their card because they're massively supplemented by New Japan Pro Wrestling. And it's kind of, I suppose that's quite in tune with Rev Pro at home in the UK because their relationship with New Japan allows them to do some massive shows. And it's something which has had legs kind of beyond what I thought it would. It hasn't even started to show signs of people kind of like, because the New Japan guys are over on RevPro a lot, and there seems to be the same excitement level every time for those guys, and they seem to pack the house in York Hall every time. And this card, I got to give it to them. In terms of things I'm missing in New Orleans that I'm not going to be in attendance for, this is probably the one I'm most pumped to be missing out on. They have put together, Andy the Angel, Andy Coyledon has put together one heck of a card for live RevPro live in New Orleans. I'm just going to run down this card very quickly, and then Travis, you can give your thoughts. Sure. The British heavyweight title, Zack Sabre Jr. defends versus Tomohiro Ishii. An insane six-man tag as Chaos, represented by Will Ospreay, Rocky Romero, and Chucky T, take on Kota Ibushi, Shane Strickland, and Flip Gordon. Hiroshi Tanahashi. That is one for the blooper reel. I've literally never done that. I had those two guys, Hiromu Takahashi and Hiroshi Tanahashi, back to back in the FSM 50 this year, and I didn't ever botch their names up like I just did there. But for whatever reason, I just couldn't say Hiroshi Tanahashi. He will team with Juice Robinson to take on Aussie Open, Mark Davis, and Kyle Fletcher, who we've actually talked quite a bit about so far in these first few weeks of the Pro Wrestling Paradise. Two guys who I think are on the cusp of breaking out big. Minoru Suzuki versus Jeff Cobb, a Pancrase star versus the Olympian, David Starr versus Martin Stone, and also announced Adam Brooks. So that is quite the card, right?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think the card really benefits from the New Japan imports on it. It's always a little strange when you take these kind of, you know, promotions from outside of the States and then have them do kind of these on-tour shows. And I feel like the RevPro show last year didn't really feel like a RevPro show. It kind of just felt like a WrestleCon-y kind of like independent show. This one definitely, though, like, with the New Japan flair that's become so important in RevPro, like it has the Ring of Honor, I think does seem a little bit more authentic for that regard, even though there's less UK guys on it, if that makes any sense at all. But no, phenomenal card. Sabre and Ishii, we've seen go at it a couple times now. Each time it's been fantastic. And I think that in a big main event spot with the title on the line is going to be one of the better matches of Mania Weekend. And that's when I know there was a little bit of heat on Twitter from, you know, the UK RevPro fan base about that match happening in New Orleans as opposed to, you know, in York Hall, for example. So it's you know, kind of interesting to see that they went with that choice. The six-man tag, I was kind of hoping we would maybe see Ibushi and Ospreay one-on-one, but this is, you know, a good substitute. They locked horns in that six-man tag 2 years ago at Mania Weekend, so I'm interested to see them both go at it again together. Strickland's great, Flip Gordon's great, and I'm kind of happy to see them get a big spotlight match. Romero and Chucky T, I like them both. They're guys that have been watching for eons now, it seems. I maybe kind of wish that we could have had them subbed out for two different, you know, high flyers, but I got that they were kind of going
for such a good base, though.
And it's very true, right? And I think, like, especially for a guy like Flip Gordon or Strickland, he's an important figure in that match. And I get that they kind of wanted to do that New Japan thing by having the Chaos stable team together. So it's cool, and I think that'll be a phenomenal match for sure. And I feel like overall Mania Weekend's kind of big for six-man tags. We have the one on the WWN show, we have this one, there's one on the Ring of Honor show too, if we touch on that in a little bit, that all look really good in their own way. So I think that's cool. You mentioned talking about Aussie Open lately. They are far and away my two kind of breakout guys right now. Strap a rocket to them, they're going to be huge. Mark Davison especially, I think, is absolutely phenomenal, and is going to be a really, really, really big star in the UK over the next couple of years. So them getting a chance to work with Tanahashi is awesome. Tanahashi and Juice teaming, I'm really cool with. I loved their New Japan Cup match against each other, so happy to see them team and kind of the mentor-mentee relationship they have there. Suzuki and Cobb is an insane match that I probably would have never thought about if you ask me of who I'd like to see Minoru Suzuki fight during WrestleMania weekend. But I think that's going to be awesome. Just the, you know, some of the grappling in that should be supreme. And even like David Starr and Martin Stone, two really, really solid pro wrestlers that I think they would have a really good opener. So I think Rev Pro is definitely pulling out all the stops for their card.
I mentioned the Crash, another international flavor. I won't run down this whole card, but for the Crash, it's very much your mix of kind of indie lucha guys, sort of big name indie lucha guys, guys who've had their runs through AAA, and then US indie guys who are kind of hooked up with that in various ways, be it through Lucha Underground over the years, through Sammy Callahan connections. That's kind of what you got going on there. It's a real mix. It's I wouldn't say it's anything close like a traditional Lucha Libre show. You got, I think it's going to be more like a US indie show, to be honest, than a traditional Lucha show. And for me, that's a sad thing. I would like to see more of a traditional Lucha element to this. But is there anything on that card, just very briefly before we get on to the Ring of Honor, which you mentioned, is there anything on that Crash card that would really catch your eye?
Really, if I look at it, there's two little things that stand out. There's a three-way tag with Jake and Dave Crist against Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz against Bandito and Black Boy. I really don't know anything about Black Boy, but I know that Xavier and Wentz and Bandito and Flamita have really amazing chemistry. They had an awesome match in Dragon Gate. Apparently, they tore the house down in PWG as well. So I think, you know, with Xavier and Wentz's familiarity with the Crist brothers and Bandito, I think that'll be kind of a really cool match that you won't get a chance to see anywhere else. And the other one I wanted to mention on the Crash show, one of the first matches that actually got announced for Mania weekend was Rey Fénix versus Flamita. And that was a match that I was really, really, really excited for. And I thought would be cool to like really bring, like you said, a traditional Lucha Libre match to Mania weekend. And then they threw Rich Swann into it and made it a three-way. But now Rich Swann's status for everything's kind of up in the air. CZW just pulled him from their shows. So I'm, you know, no disrespect to Rich Swann, I guess. But I really hope if he doesn't end up doing that show, that becomes a singles match again, because that was something that, if you asked me 3 months ago what I was looking forward to for Mania weekend, that would have been one of the highlights. But aside from that, I'm not a big Lucha follower, but, you know, something a little different. So hopefully it's a cool show.
Okay, Travis, Ring of Honor. I'm not going to be there. I'm sad to be missing out on it, but I chose NXT over it. I'm a little bit more into NXT these days, although the Cody Kenny story has really grabbed me. But overall, I think I'm more into NXT, and my girlfriend is very, very much more into NXT than Ring of Honor. So it was an easy decision for us to go with NXT. The Ring of Honor show, it's an interesting one. They haven't really gone all out to wow you with any, oh my God, look at this match, as such with the card yet. But I think Cody and Kenny as a story just carries it so well. And it feels like one of the it matches of the weekend that people are in town for almost, as much as Mania itself. So that's their calling card, and they're banking on that to be the one that sell tickets. And I don't know for a fact that they're sold out or anything yet, but I'm pretty confident they're going to have a huge attendance at that show.
Yeah, they've already announced that it's going to be the highest attendance for any Ring of Honor show ever. And personal opinion, for me aside, Ring of Honor was the promotion that really got me into independent wrestling. And in the past couple of years, it really hasn't grabbed me as much. I kind of laugh at you mentioning the NXT thing. I have a friend of mine that we used to go to Ring of Honor shows religiously. And in the past couple of years, we've kind of stopped doing that and have started going to like WWE or NXT shows instead as our kind of, you know, two or three times a year hangout session that we have. And I feel like that's the same for a lot of people. But honestly, for Super Card of Honor, I think with what the current Ring of Honor environment is, I think it's one of the strongest cards they could have put together. And I'm actually really surprised by it. I'm not really into the Bullet Club stuff as much as a lot of people. I've never watched their YouTube show or anything like that. But just from watching the matches in New Japan, I think the Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega match has been built so well, like you said, that it really feels like a WrestleMania caliber match that, you know, everything's been building to. And, you know, I might not have as much stock in it as, you know, people that watch the Elite show they have on YouTube, or, you know, people that, you know, are obsessed with the Bullet Club. But I think it's really good, and I'm really intrigued to see how it goes down. And that's awesome, because they've taken someone like me who really doesn't care about it, and they've brought me into it. So that's a testament to the storytelling they've been doing. And I think that's a huge main event that people are really excited for. But even the rest of the card, like, you know, you kind of mentioned, like, maybe it doesn't seem like an all-out kind of show, but I almost disagree with you in that regard, that maybe it doesn't, you know, everything doesn't jump out as, like, this huge match, but I think everything on it is really rock solid. I think Dalton Castle versus Marty Scurll is a really good title match, especially too with how over Bullet Club is. Castle and Lethal on the last Ring of Honor pay-per-view was a match I didn't care about at all, and it blew me away, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. So I'm curious to see what Dalton does with this match. You know, you have the Women of Honor stuff, which, you know, that's kind of accumulating, and I guess Emma or Tennille Dashwood's been a pretty big draw kind of across the indies for a show she's been on. So I'm expecting
Mayu Iwatani is on that show. And for those that don't know the name, Mayu Iwatani is one of the best wrestlers in the world. Like,
100%.
I'm not saying one of the best female wrestlers in the world. I'm saying one of the best wrestlers in the world. She is incredible. And I don't know much about Kelly Klein, but if Kelly Klein is halfway decent, this is going to be a great match. And if Kelly Klein is very good, then it's going to be a really great match.
Well, and that's the thing with this too, Alan, because they're doing the semifinals and the finals, as far as I'm aware, in the same night. So my expectation for the finals is it's going to be Tennille versus, you know, Mayu Iwatani.
Oh my god, and Tennille worked so well with Asuka in NXT, right, when they had that match in London. I can only imagine how good this would be.
And that's the thing. So that's something that, again, like, on paper, you kind of look at it and you go, oh, Women of Honor tournament finals, okay, whatever. But if you really break it down, that could be something that's phenomenal. And then the other thing too, like, you know, the Briscoes defending the titles against Lethal and Tanahashi. Okay, nobody really expects a title change there. But I like the idea of, like, the Briscoes, who've been the tag team aces for forever in Ring of Honor, against the guy that they've kind of established as their ace and Jay Lethal, and New Japan's ace and Tanahashi. I think that's at least kind of a big-ish match there. The six-man tag match on this show is insane. So you have SoCal Uncensored, so Daniels, Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky. Amazing that Scorpio Sky, this long into his career, is finally getting a platform, because that's a dude that has always been rock solid, that, like, never really got out of SoCal much, and now he is, and he's got a big spotlight on him, and I think that's great. He's somebody that a lot of, like, younger wrestlers, especially high flyers, can really learn a lot from in working. So they're against the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon, which in and of itself I think is kind of a cool match, but it's a ladder match. And the ladder match is kind of starting to become like the Bucks Ring of Honor WrestleMania tradition, I feel. They had an insane ladder match with the Hardy Boys last year. The year before that, although it wasn't at Mania weekend, they had another insane ladder match with Sabin and Shelley and Daniels and Kazarian. So I'm really excited to see what happens with this when you take, you know, two teams that have already established they can just have insane ladder matches. You put Flip Gordon in it, who's a psychopath, and Scorpio Sky, who's really good. And I think that's a crazy match that, again, you kind of look at it on paper, you go, yeah, okay, I'll move on with my life, but, like, they're going to turn it up, and that's going to be an insane match that I think is going to be a highlight of the weekend. And even just the rest of the show, like Kenny King versus Silas Young, okay, I've seen it. I don't really care too much for either guy, but they have the last man standing gimmick on it, and that is something that Silas Young has always really excelled at, is kind of like a more weapon-based brawl type of match. So I think that has potential to be good. You have Kota Ibushi in his only singles match Mania weekend, and that guy always turns it up big time in singles matches, against Adam Page, who's really on the cusp right now of becoming from somebody that's really good to being somebody that's great. And I think him working with Ibushi, again, you might look at it and go, well, there's 50 other guys I'd like to see Kota Ibushi wrestle instead. But I think that's a really good use of him to help him bring somebody's stock up even more than it's already climbing.
I totally agree with that.
Same thing with Ishii and Punishment Martinez. On paper, seems like a bit of a styles clash to me, so hopefully it turns out okay.
But well, Ishii has actually worked really well with big tall guys in his career in the G1 against guys like Gallows, Fale, Davey Boy Smith, Lance Archer, all of these really big tall guys Ishii has had great chemistry with over the years. So I think for Punishment Martinez, there is no better opponent in the world for him to be facing at WrestleMania weekend than Tomohiro Ishii. The only question is, for Tomohiro Ishii, there's probably some other opponents you'd rather see him wrestle.
Well, and that's exactly it, too. And I think that's one thing where, again, like I just mentioned with the Ibushi match, you look at that match on paper and you go, yeah, you know what, man, I would have loved to see, you know, Ishii against, you know, I don't even have a name, but somebody else, right? But if you look at it from Ring of Honor's perspective, I kind of feel like at this point they're trying to build their own roster.
Yeah, and that's what
they should be using these imports for, is on a big platform, having these phenomenal wrestlers that can make their own homegrown guys that are going to be carrying the company when New Japan's not around, you know, giving them that spotlight. So, and Punishment Martinez had a good match with like Goto on the Honor Rising shows a couple years ago, so it could turn out better than I expect.
What they've done is they've essentially booked a show, which I'm not overly disappointed that I'm missing it, but they've probably booked the smartest, best show that they can book, considering they've already drawn the house. They don't need to worry about putting on extra matches to draw in fans. And now they've got their guys like Martinez and Paige in matches in front of this huge crowd, which are going to basically showcase them in the best way they can possibly be showcased. And I give them all the credit in the world. I think this is an incredibly well-booked card, very smartly booked. It's, again, not one I'm crying into my bowl of cereal about not getting to see, but especially now that we've Ciampa versus Gargano added to NXT, which I just saw on your spreadsheet. I gotta thank Travis. He's guided this whole thing along by having this incredible Word doc and spreadsheet and Excel spreadsheet of everything going on in New Orleans, which has made my job very easy here today. But what we gotta do, Travis, is, because we're running out of time and there's so much else to talk about, I just kind of want to do like a best of the rest here with you. So I'll just run down the different shows we haven't mentioned to give people an idea of how much there is. And then you could just tell us what you think people should be looking forward to on those shows. So there is the Wildcat show with the local New Orleans show that will be on Thursday, run by Luke Hawks. There is Beyond's Lit Up show, which is all intergender matches. It may or may not have been referenced at the end of the last Pro Wrestling Paradise by my potty mouth girlfriend. Let's see, as I scroll down, the Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground show. And there is Wrestling Revolver / AAW / Fight Club Pro, Pancakes and Pile Drivers, the Super Indie Summit. There is CZW, Welcome to the Combat Zone 2018, Shimmer 100. And Style Battle Season 1 Finale and House of Hardcore 40. So a lot there, Travis. What stands out to you on those shows? What's like the thing that you want to tell people? You need to know this is happening. You need to be there. And if you're in New Orleans, you need to be at this match. Or if you're at home, you need to make sure you find a way to watch it.
Yeah, I think with the WrestleCon Super Show, it's the element of surprise that I think always works best for that. They don't announce a lot of matches for it. They don't announce a lot of talent for it. They've already said they have like a crazy 10-man tag lined up that they haven't announced anybody for. So I think that's always a fun show if you have the opportunity to watch it spoiler-free when you're at home. And you don't know the matches, like low-key showing up last year was a highlight for me. So that's something I always try to make it a point for. The Beyond show, your mileage on that's going to vary depending on how much you're into intergender wrestling. I won't get into that whole topic of discussion. I like it if it's done right, and I think there's a couple intriguing matches on there. You got Tracy Williams and Kimberly. I'm more anxious just to see how Kimberly post WWE does. So that's something I'll probably make it a point to check out. you know, you touched on Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground. That's kind of the surprise of Mania Weekend for me, that show. And this might shock you, Alan, but watching from home for WWN Mercury Rising, as opposed to just purchasing the live showing, I purchased the on-demand because I may find myself flipping to the Impact versus Lucha Underground show during it, which is airing free on Twitch. I don't know. I think they took a show that I otherwise couldn't have cared a lot about by doing it, you know, company versus company. They have some really intriguing matches on there that I actually think could be good. We talked about six-man tags earlier. There's a crazy six-man tag on that match, Alan.
Oh, yeah.
It's Drago, Aerostar, and King Cuerno, or Elio Del Fantasma, against Desmond Xavier, DJZ, and Andrew Everett, who, you know, is in New Orleans that really hasn't shown up on a lot of shows. I think that's going to be insane. You have LAX, Santana and Ortiz, who are...
Wait, hang on. I just realized something, Travis.
Yep.
DJZ is on the WWN Mercury Rising show, and I believe that show starts an hour before the Impact versus Lucha Underground show, and he's having these crazy six-man tags on both these shows. How is this guy going to keep his head straight? Think of all the spots he is going to have to be remembering in that, like, two-hour period and not getting mixed up. That is, oh, my God.
That is a daunting task that I didn't even realize it. If anybody can handle it, I think it's him, but that is a very fair point. And that's one thing about these Mania weekends. I know we talked about Will Ospreay on the show a year or two ago about it, where it's just these guys literally going show to show, wrestling on two shows happening at the same time. It's crazy, and I have all the respect in the world for the guys that are doing that. So, that's crazy. But I was mentioning, too, like, you have LAX against Killshot, James Strickland, and Willie Mack, who, again, is in New Orleans, not on a lot of shows. He's a guy that I feel really doesn't get his due. I think that's going to be a great match. You have Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan in an I Quit match, which... You know, regardless of what you think about the whole baseball bat thing, you know, it's gotten a lot of attention. So now they're putting him in this crazy grudge match. It's a show that until they announced the Lucha Underground involvement, I was like, TNA is having a show Mania weekend. Cool. But now, I actually might make it a point to prioritize that over the WWN show. Just knowing that I can watch the WWN show after the fact when it's on demand. And there's a lot going on that Friday anyways, so that might work out a little better for me scheduling watching from home. But that's a show that I think maybe not a lot of people are interested in that they maybe should get on board with. The Pancakes and Piledrivers show last year, that was one of my favorite shows of Mania Weekend, just because I thought it was a really good mix of different stuff.
And this I can show confirm maybe, the pancakes were excellent.
Well, that's good to know. Maybe I'll have to make some when I watch it at home on the High Spots Network eventually. But same thing, it's really a good something for everyone show. Maybe doesn't look as great as last year's, but you have, you know, a big singles match with ACH and Trevor Lee. You have, you know, a dream tag match in Pentagon and Phoenix against Teddy Hart and Jack Evans. You've got,
and I don't really like how she's being used on this show, but nevertheless, you've got one of the best wrestlers of the last 20 years anywhere in the world, Mako Satomura. And I said it with Mayu Iwatani. I'm not talking about best female wrestlers. I'm talking about one of the best wrestlers. Mako Satomura is a legend who is still as good as anyone. I've had her in the FSM 50 the last couple of years. She is a badass, an incredible wrestler, the head of Sendai Girls in Japan. It's a crying shame that she's not being booked by everyone else at Mania Weekend who she'd be able to be on the shows for scheduling-wise, because to the best of my knowledge so far, unless she's a surprise, this is the only show she'll be on. And that is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's maybe through her own doing. I have no idea. Maybe she doesn't want to wrestle too much and is kind of looking at it as a trip. I don't know, because that's mind-numbing to me as well, why any promotion that has the opportunity to book her doesn't. I think it's asinine that she's in a three-way on that show, but I mean, it is what it is. I couldn't imagine booking her then you know, putting her in an environment like that. But again, you know, I'm not running the wrestling revolver, so my opinion doesn't matter too much, I guess. But same thing, rest of the show, you got a crazy ladder match on there with Wentz and Xavier, Aussie Open, who I'm curious to see how they do in that environment, and Matt Fitchett and Davey Vega, who are very good. You've got some singles matches like Shane Strickland and Jeff Cobb, Eddie Kingston and Juice Robinson. You have the open invite scramble, which has kind of become a highlight of these Wrestling Revolver shows, where they just have 20 different types of wrestlers in a crazy multi-man match, which will be a lot of fun. So I think that's a show that's, again, a little different that, you know, might be worth making some time for. And then the only other one I'll really make a note on, I won't talk too much about CZW or Style Battle or House of Hardcore, but Shimmer, even though I won't get into the card, the Shimmer show has been a highlight of Mania Weekend for me the past couple years, just in that I think they put a really well-booked, really concise card together each year, and it's really easy to watch, and I always make time for Shimmer, and I think that's worthwhile too.
Okay, Travis, we talked about this at the start. I'm going to throw it at you here. I think we'll have maybe 3 to 4 questions I'm going to pose at you. So the first one is, Thursday evening, you're sat there with the decision between Evolve 102 and the WrestleCon Super Show. Which do you go to / watch? Evolve 102 with Sabre versus Riddle, that crazy dream tag match we talked about, Will Ospreay versus AR Fox, DJZ versus Austin Theory, Keith Lee versus Darby Allin, WrestleCon Super Show with Golden Lovers teaming together, don't know their opponents yet, Jeff Cobb versus Tomohiro Ishii, Penta versus Joey Janela. Where does your money go?
It's tough from the, and I'll give a little bit of information for the listeners too, for the at home perspective. So if you're at home, WrestleCon will not be live. It'll be on demand on the High Spots network. Last year, they were really quick. They headed up by the next morning. So from your at home perspective, your choice is Evolve 102. It's running uncontested. From if I was buying a ticket to one of the shows live, as fun as the WrestleCon show is with the element of surprise, at the end of the day, I go for matches announced, and that tag match with Sekimoto and Sawa, I can't pass that up. I'd be buying a ticket to Evolve 102.
Okay. Next one. This is a big one that I know for a fact there are certain people who have sold tickets to one show or just are ditching tickets to one show to go to the other. I have not done that. I wouldn't do that. I am all in on the Evolve show on the afternoon of the Friday with Sekimoto versus Riddle, Jaka versus Sawa, Walter versus Darby, Keith Lee versus Austin Theory. A great, great show. Tim Thatcher versus Dominic Guarini, which should be awesome based on their interactions that they had in New York a few months ago. And both those guys are excited for that. So that's a great card, I think. Versus the Rev Pro card that we talked about earlier. That's a tough one.
That's probably the toughest one out of any of these matchups you're going to pose for me. Again, if you're watching from home, you can watch Evolve 103. Rev Pro won't be streaming live. If I was buying a ticket, as much as I like the New Japan guys, you got Kota Ibushi, I'm with you, Evolve 103. You have Riddle and Sekimoto. Like, what a match that is. I briefly mentioned this earlier, but Sawa and Jaka is a match that I never would have booked, but seeing it on paper, I think it's so cool that they're taking somebody that obviously WWN has spent a lot of time investing in Jaka, who's phenomenal. He's getting a huge opportunity to wrestle somebody that really a lot of people don't get that chance to do in wrestling Sawa. I love that they kind of promoted as Sawa apparently saw Jaka versus Zack Sabre and said, you know, this guy would be in Battle Arts if Battle Arts was still running. I want to fight him.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, Gabe tweeted that, or it was in one of the WWN news blasts or something like that. And I just love simple storytelling and wrestling like that. And I love that match is happening. And Darby Allin versus Walter is pretty much in my top 5 of matches I'm excited for the weekend. I love scrappy underdogs. And I think Darby's so good at that. And Walter is such a good bully. I loved Walter being so dismissive of Darby when they were in the ring together recently, basically telling him to get the fuck out of the ring. And I have in my head this envisionment of how I expect that match to go. And I don't know if it'll just be Walter beating up on Darby the whole time, but I think they could really do an awesome cat and mouse game. And I also kind of have a scenario where I could see Darby winning and it actually being kind of cool. So I'm really looking forward to that. And same thing, Dominic Greeny is amazing. He's somebody that loves wrestling so much if you follow him on social media. And I know this match with Thatcher means a lot to him. They had awesome interactions at La Boom, and I think that's going to be a really good singles match, especially if it's the opener. And Greeny had a tweet that like really, really hit me in the heartstrings, where he basically said, 1 year ago at WrestleMania weekend, I had to beg to be on a show in a storage garage. And now I'm wrestling for Evolve against Timothy Thatcher, the longest reigning Evolve champion ever, in a singles match. And like, man, if you look at like wrestling storylines, that's not a wrestling storyline. That's somebody's hard work paying off. And that resonates so strongly with me that I would buy a ticket for that match alone, as crazy as it sounds.
Okay, Travis. Last one. This is a tough one, and it's one that it's a decision people probably had to make sight unseen on the card. They probably had to make this decision months ago, going to Ticketmaster and buying one of these tickets.
Yeah.
The big Saturday night slot. It's not, no one really runs against it anymore. Gabe's put Style Battle out there to die against these shows.
That's why tickets are $5.
Yeah, it is ROH Supercard of Honor. Versus, we don't need to get into the card, the NXT TakeOver New Orleans show. I'm staying away from WWE stuff for this show, but at the same time, this is a huge decision people have to make, ROH versus NXT. Where would you have gone? And this is one where it's watching live, one versus the other. So which will you be watching live?
So watching live, I've chosen Ring of Honor. I've subscribed to the Honor Club or whatever they call it to get that one. Because I do have the ability where I can watch NXT after it's done. And I've also purchased the on-demand for Style Battle as well. And I figure I'll probably watch that Sunday morning when there's nothing else going on before WrestleMania.
You're crazy, man.
I watch everything. I'm literally sick. But so watching at home, I've chosen Ring of Honor because I can still get a chance to see everything. If I had to pick one to go to, I would have sight unseen bought the NXT ticket. And that mainly has to do with me being a little lukewarm on Ring of Honor and NXT TakeOver is constantly delivering. But with the card that Ring of Honor is put up there, would I be regretting my decision if I bought a ticket to NXT and not Ring of Honor? Maybe not regretting it, but definitely wishing I could be in two places at once. But I'd say overall, if I had to attend one, I'd probably go with NXT.
Awesome. There we are. So that is New Orleans next week. I can't wait. It's going to be crazy. We're probably going to be burnt out by the end of it, but sure, look, it's what we do to ourselves. I'll be checking in from time to time in various ways on the Torch, talking to Wade and getting the scoops out there for you guys about what's hot and what's not in New Orleans. And then this time next week, we'll have some form of a wrap-up show. Might be a day late. We'll see how things go. It could be the Tuesday afternoon that it goes up. So yeah, we'll see how things go. It's going to be crazy over there. I will do my best. I'll have the Pro Rest Paradise mobile unit with me, and we'll do our best to get some good audio for you guys while we're over there. And that's been our WrestleMania week preview for this year. Travis, thanks so much for being on the show. Thanks for your help with the spreadsheets. I'll be using them before, during, and after what we've recorded here today. And if there's anything you want to plug for anyone just before we get on out of here, please, the floor. Or is yours?
Nothing I really want to plug. I just want to wish you safe travels and enjoy your trip. Thanks
as always for having.
Thanks as always for having me on. If you want to listen to me rant about wrestling, Twitter at #travesty. You can find me on there. But other than that, just support wrestling, especially independent wrestling. There's a lot of shows, a lot of options for you. You know, do what you can financially, but try to support, buy a couple shows, sit back and enjoy if you're not attending them in person.
It's a beautiful thing. All right. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We'll be talking to you soon. Bye, everybody.